But we see here just a small portion of the people that we see there. And even though I know they can see me and I know that we can join together, there's just something about being together, having the opportunity to gather together, and or any large gathering of people. Because my wife and I, we're kind of extroverted. We like having people in our life. We like getting together with groups. I mean, we would plan who knows what kind of party so that we could all be together. Well, that's a little difficult right now. I think we're restricted to, 10 people? Well, that really narrows us down. When you're used to 20 or more, it gets very difficult. But one thing we have no restrictions on is the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. We can tell anybody about what he's done for us and how he's loved us. One of the songs this morning was about how much he loved us. And today I want to talk about freedom. Freedom. And I want to talk about the freedom that comes through forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness. Now, I chose forgiveness in the sand because they're at the beach today. And so this is our way of joining in with them. I know they were struggling to figure out how they were going to have Sunday service because the campsites have asked that they not have large gatherings. So I know they were talking. They might be at Coffinberry Lake this morning, holding their service at Coffinberry Lake. I'm not certain, but because I'm not there and very happy to be here, let me tell you. So the freedom of forgiveness. And the first part of that is the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. If you go all the way back to Genesis, you can trace the forgiveness of sin that God has done throughout eternity. Throughout all the time that we know, he's been in the business of forgiving people of sin. So I guess the biggest question is, well, what is sin? What is sin? Because if you talk about being a sinner, if you talk to people about God forgiving them of their sins, they can get very standoffish. Like, that means I'm a bad person. That means I'm like somebody that I shouldn't associate with. But that's not what being a sinner is at all. Because sin is simply missing the mark. I mean, if you go back to the archaic reason for sin, it was an archery term. You'd either hit the bullseye or you would miss the bullseye. And so it was a hit or a sin. So basically, it just means you missed the mark. But if we look now at what sin is, oh, by the way, we have all sinned. We have all sinned. Jesus died to save us from our sins. Sin is an act of offense against God or against God's word or by injuring others. These are all methods of sin. So it's just something that would offend God. So I start thinking about, well, what is it that would offend God? Well, obviously, if I'm not living my life according to the word of God, I'm sure that hurts God. If I'm not living my life based upon what God would have me do, well, I'm sure that that's very hurtful. It's like with my own children. I have images in my mind of what I would like my children to do and what I would like my children to be. And if they don't hit that level, can it be hurtful? Sometimes. Sometimes. But I want you to know that Jesus came to forgive us of all of those things. So the first thing I want to talk about is the forgiveness of sin. And we have all sinned. We're all sinners. I mean, the Bible is very plain. In 1 John 1:8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So it's real easy to say, I'm not a sinner. Not me. Because, you know, that's a person that I don't think I really want to be. But in truth, we are all sinners. All have sinned. And but the best part about 1 John 1 is the next verse. Because this verse says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But the next verse says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So God is in the business of forgiving those sins, forgiving those things. And I want to talk about the freedom that comes from forgiveness in Jesus. Not just from sin, but from everything that we need forgiveness from. But I want to start with sin. I want you to know that I am nothing more than a sinner saved by the grace of God. Once upon a time, I didn't walk with Jesus the way that I should. Now, I grew up in church. I've been in church since I was like this guy. My mom took me to church when I was an infant. And it's been the life that I've known most of my life. But there was a time when I wasn't the guy I should have been. It was before I met my wife. Otherwise, she might not have liked me. But there was a time when I strayed from that bit that I had learned when I was just a baby. And I went through a period of time when I wasn't bad. I just wasn't doing what I should. I mean, I was never a thief or a murderer. Aren't you glad to know that? I was never the guy who was out causing pain and disparity. I wasn't the guy that made fun of people. I was always a nice guy. Right, Tim? Oh, thank you. Tim and I went to school together, so now I have somebody to attest to that. But I wasn't always doing the things that I should. And I can remember a time my older brother, because I'm the baby brother, my older brother came to me and he says, Tom, it's just not the same not having you in church. That's all he said. It's just not the same not having you there. And my heart was broken. And I started attending church again, and I've never, ever looked back. Because God forgave me of that sin. And you see, it wasn't that I was evil. It wasn't that I was bad. It's just, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And sometimes we forget that there are things we're supposed to do, and we forget to do them. Because sin can sometimes be what we don't do as opposed to what we do. But God is in the business of forgiving sin. So, how hard can it be? How hard can it be to be forgiven of sin? I mean, is it hard? People think, oh, I don't want to go to church. I'm a sinner. People will know I'm a bad person. But I want you to know, it's not hard. Being a Christian was never meant to be hard. It was actually meant to be relatively easy. Otherwise, people wouldn't do it. How many of you think, oh, I think I'm going to go out and find the worst job in the world that I could ever do because that would make me a better person? I mean, is that what we do? I went out to find the best job in the world that I could find so that I could be at home with my kids. That was my desire. That was my goal because I was working nighttime. I worked at night most of the time when I was younger, doing different things. But I was missing out on the things that my kids were able to do. You know, if they had a sporting event, I didn't get to go because I had to work at night. If they were in a choir concert, I didn't get to go because I had to work at night. So I took a cut in pay, a major cut in pay, so I could be at home at night with my kids. Sometimes we have to make a sacrifice to redeem what is on the other side of the sacrifice. And so this morning, how hard is it to be forgiven? I don't think it's that hard. And neither did Jesus. Neither did Jesus. So there's a story in the Bible when Jesus went to Capernaum. where he's coming into the city, and they bring a person to him who's been lame, who couldn't walk. He's on a bed, and they bring him in on his bed. And Jesus looks over at the man, and he goes, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven of you." And the people around, the learned people said, "Whoa, this is blasphemy. He doesn't have the authority to forgive sin." And then I love what Jesus says. He says, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? What's easier? Is it easier to forgive sin or to heal people? Which is easier?" And Jesus then continues, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. So that entire healing situation, everything that he did there was just to prove that he had the authority to forgive sin. And then the people went on and said, "Whoa, what manner of person is this? This is something we've never seen before." So how hard is it to be forgiven? In God's eyes, it's not very hard. It's not very hard at all. All we have to do is come to him. And what did it say in 1 John? Confess our sins, or our errings, or our shortcomings. And he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, if you look in the book of John, chapter 8, 34 through 36, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." So if you are set free from sin, you are free. Free. Do you know how important freedom is? In the United States of America, people died for freedom. All through history. I mean, we can go all the way back to the Revolutionary War, and people died for freedom. And then you can come up through every war through history, and people have died for freedom. Freedom is obviously very, very important. And we as Americans, we enjoy freedoms that a lot of other people don't have. And somebody paid the price for that freedom. Somebody did, somewhere down the line. We've probably got relatives who have passed that paid a price for our freedom. Freedom to me is extremely important. Freedom to me is very, very important because I get to come to church and I get to worship with people of like faith because somebody set that stage for me. My mother, my father, my grandparents, somebody down the line set a stage for me so that I can have freedom. And the scripture says I have freedom from sin, and if the Son sets me free, then I am truly free. Amen? But then he goes on. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, he says, "Now that you have been set free from sin," again, God is in the business of setting us free from sin. "Now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what eternal life is going to be like? I mean, really like? Where we don't have to worry about sickness, and we don't have to worry about pain, and we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about finances. We don't have to worry about anything because we have eternal life. And that is a gift from God. And it comes right in there with the forgiveness of sin. You are forgiven. Take this gift. It's so easy for God. So easy for God. So if we come to him and we say, "I need forgiveness according to the word of God," which Jesus is the word of God. According to that word, we are forgiven. It's accepted. And because of that, we have the gift of eternal life. What a promise. What a promise. What, isn't that something to look forward to? Isn't that something that we can say, wow. And all I had to do was say, I need your help. And he gives it, and we redeem that forever. That is a wonderful thing. Last week, Pastor Mike talked about forgiveness of our debts, because he's going through, what is it, the Jesus prayer, he calls it. And he talked about forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. The version of the Lord's Prayer, though, in Luke chapter 11, verse 4 states, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. As we also forgive everyone who sins against us. So the first point in forgiveness is we need to be forgiven of our sins. And it's very, very easy. God made it easy so that everybody would want to do it. But the second point in forgiveness is we have to forgive others. Has anybody ever wronged you? I mean, just think over time. Has anybody ever wronged you? Has there been somebody who's offended you? Has there been somebody who has hurt you? Has there been somebody who has made you feel that you are not worthy of something? Has there been somebody who has caused you internal strife and nobody even knows? Have people hurt you? Scripture says that we're supposed to forgive them. Oftentimes we don't. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes to forgive others. It's really hard because it requires us to do something when somebody else wronged me. It requires us to come out of our comfort zone and forgive somebody when really, shouldn't it be them asking for forgiveness? Shouldn't it be them coming to me? But oftentimes, they don't even realize that they've offended you. There are some things that happen that the offender doesn't realize they've done any offense, but the person who's been offended really got hurt by it. And as a result, there becomes a division between people. There becomes something that separates them from love. There's something that separates them from each other. It can be in work relationships. It can be in family relationships. It can be in friend relationships. It can be between husband and wife, father and son, mother and daughter. It can be between any person, because oftentimes we wear our feelings on our sleeves. And when somebody touches that, then we are hurt. But the Bible says very, very plainly that we should forgive people who trespass against us, people who have sinned against us. When we carry a grudge, we're just hurting ourselves. When you're carrying a grudge, you're carrying something that God never intended for you to carry. Remember, He wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to be free, to have the joy of the Lord, and let that be our strength. He wants us to be free of all of those things that weigh us down, all of those things that would tear a body apart, all of those things that would keep me from saying, Evelyn, I just love you so much today. All of those things that would keep me from sharing the love of Jesus with each other. Because that's what Satan tries to do. If he can separate us, then he's divided us, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. But God came so that we can have unity one with another, so that we can love each other, so that we can share, and so that we can, even from a distance, we can have the same feelings and the same understanding of the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. Because there is nothing in the world like being free. What a waste of energy carrying a grudge. What a waste of... Because most of the time when you carry a grudge, they don't even know you are. You carry this thing about, oh, Mark, that Mark. I tell you, I'm just... I'm never gonna be able to let that go. Never. And I talked to Mark on Sunday. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Well, I'm doing great, Tom. How are you? I'm great. I don't even tell him I have a problem. But yet when he walks away, oh, that Mark. And he doesn't even know I'm carrying a grudge. Because most of the time when you carry a grudge, you're the one carrying it. Mark's not. Mark comes in and he just says, hey, Tom, isn't it a beautiful day? Yeah, it really is. But if I'm carrying a grudge, no matter who it is, I'm carrying something God never intended for me to carry. And the freedom is lost. It's lost to me more than it is to Mark. But there is a loss to Mark, because now Mark and I have something between us that he doesn't even know about. How important is it that we forgive others? I think it's extremely important. If you read in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, isn't that where the Jesus prayer is? It says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Well, that's pretty basic. That's pretty basic, I think. If you forgive others, I'll forgive you. So there's a real important step for us that we sometimes forget. God says, I want you to forgive each other. I don't want you to have something against Mary. I don't want you to have something against anybody. I don't want you to have something against Christina. I don't want you to have something against Joe. I want you to always have unity. And unity comes from the freedom that comes through Christ Jesus. And the best thing that we can do is forgive others. The best thing. Even if they don't know. Christina, I just want you to know I just felt this and I'm really sorry I did that. And Christina says, I didn't even know you felt that way. But what would be the first thing you would say? Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes when you forgive somebody, especially when they don't even know that they've hurt you, that will soften a heart that sometimes other words will not. Because there's something about being forgiven. There's something about knowing that somebody cares enough about you to forgive you. It's really, really important that we forgive each other of their sins. In Mark, it goes on. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It's very plain. He says it over and over. You want me to forgive you? You got to forgive others. It's got to be fair. It's got to be to everybody. Oh, but that person is a... Let's pick a something. That person is not a believer. Do non-believers deserve forgiveness? I think they do. But that person is a Democrat Republican. Oh, now we're getting into a real rough area. In politics today, if you're a Democrat and you're a Republican, you can't even talk to each other. Or it seems that way. Well, they're a Catholic. I have some really good friends who are Catholic. And you know what? They love Jesus. Well, they're Methodist. Okay. Well, they're from a really strange family. Well, have you looked at your family tree lately? I mean, look at mine. I mean, look at my family tree. I love my brothers. I love my aunts and uncles. But let me tell you, there's some strange dudes in my family. Not my brothers. Love you guys. There are some My family tree is not a typical family tree. It only has a couple of branches. No, you laugh. You laugh. It all started with my mom and dad. It's their fault. Because mom married dad, right? That's why I'm here. Mom married dad. And that was so wonderful. Dad's sister married mom's brother. Well, that seemed to work. So mom's brother married dad's sister. Okay, and that worked. So dad's sister married mom's nephew. And then, well, I just can't keep up with them. So I tell you, I would never date anybody who lived in Seaside, Vernonia, because I'm probably related to them very closely. My family's odd, very odd. But I love them to death. And have we ever had disagreements? How's your family doing? You ever had a disagreement in your family? I mean, we had some disagreements in our family because somebody didn't wash the dishes. After a Thanksgiving dinner, somebody said, it was a child, I'm not washing any dishes. And then somebody got upset and they didn't speak to each other forever because somebody didn't wash the dishes. Now that's serious stuff. And it was never meant to be that way. It was never meant to be that way. It's very important that we forgive each other for those things that happen or don't happen or are perceived to happen. Because forgiveness of sin is predicated on us forgiving others of sin. It's very, very important. But I forgave them and they did it again. Oh, now there it comes. Here it comes. I forgave them and they did it again. Have you ever had a child who said, don't you do that? And then they come back and they did it again? Ever happened? So did you take them out to the firing squad and eliminate them because they did it again? We didn't do that. If I never spoke to my kids again because they didn't do what I said, I'd never have any kids to speak to. We don't do it with our children. I want you to know, some of my kids did some things that I didn't want them to do. And I love them like there's no tomorrow. I'd do anything for them. I'll drop what I'm doing and go take care of one of their needs. Why? Because I love them. And I think about God, how he drops what he's doing and he comes to attend to our needs, even though sometimes he's forgiven us of something and we did it again. And he's forgiven us of something and he did it again. Is it hard for you to forgive somebody who hurts you a second time? Is it hard for you to just let something go? Well, you're in really good company, because it was true in Jesus' day as well. Peter, great guy. In the book of Matthew, he says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. How many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister? How many times do I have to go through that process because they've wronged me? How many times? Seven times? And I often wondered, where did he get that number? Why did he pick seven times? Why didn't he just say, do I have to do that every time? Mom! I remember my son, bless his heart, coming up to me. He'd come in from outside. He'd been playing. And he'd say, Dad, somebody said something about me. He was offended. They said I do this, or I'm this. And I can remember saying, well, are you? Well, no. I said, well, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And the best part, he's a teacher now. The best part, he talked to me a while back and he says, you know, Dad, I have kids in my class that come up and say, Johnny said this about me. And I found myself saying, well, are you? Well, don't worry about it. And he says, I thought, I'm becoming my dad. And I think sometimes God says to us, well, are you? Well, don't worry about it. And when we start doing that, what do you know? We start becoming like our dad. We start becoming just like Jesus. And we're able to forgive people because it's very, very important. So where did he come up with the 7 days? Where did that come in? I found it. In the book of Luke, it says, if your brother, this is Jesus talking, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. 7 times in a day. In a day. So it wasn't just 7 times. It was 7 times in a day. How many of you have had somebody 7 times in one day come back and ask you to forgive them for something? The same person. It's not happened to me. Jesus said, even if they come 7 times in the same day and they ask you to forgive them, you must forgive them. So that's where the 7 days comes from. So Peter asked him, well, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister? Because he used the same language. This says brother or sister. And Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother and sister? Up to 7 times? And Jesus says, not up to 7 times, up to 77 times. Up to 77 times. So, Jesus made it very clear, so clear. We have to forgive others. We have to. When we do not forgive others, we're putting ourselves into bondage. If you don't forgive your brother, if I don't forgive you, if I don't forgive my brother, my sister, I'm putting myself into bondage. I'm tying myself up. I'm getting it to the place that I can't come and talk to you because I'm carrying something I shouldn't be carrying. It was never, ever intended for me to carry a grudge. It was never, ever intended for me not to forgive somebody else. It was never, ever intended for you not to forgive your brother or your sister. It is so important. And sometimes, if we don't, we start to avoid each other. Have you ever seen that? People have something between them, and pretty soon, you don't want to talk to them anymore. Oh, now we have division. And it gets so bad, you see him coming up this side of the road and you walk over to this side and walk down this side because you don't want to talk to them. Because if you talk to them, sometimes you might forgive them. And maybe that's not what we want to do today. Maybe we like carrying that grudge. Maybe we like being able to say, that person wronged me. Because does it make us feel better? Because, you know, I'm right before God. God has forgiven me of my sin. Maybe he hasn't forgiven you of the sin of not forgiving your brother or sister. So keep in mind, we have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to those at home who aren't here. Think about all of those people that you rub shoulders with throughout your day, throughout your week, that might be waiting for somebody to say, I just want you to know I love you and I forgive you. Even though you may not know why, I had a problem. And I need to forgive you because it's affecting my life. So the first thing is forgiveness of sin. And the Bible says that's easy. What did Jesus say? What's easier? To say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? For him, it was very simple. The second point is we need to forgive others. It's necessary. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. But the third, I think, is the most important. We need to forgive ourselves. You need to forgive yourself. Because often, we don't. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. that nobody probably, I don't think my wife even knows this. Years and years and years ago, I was in ninth grade. Ninth grade. This is before I discovered theater and found that that was my true love. I played baseball. I played baseball my freshman year. And I wasn't the best, but I did it. And I can remember very, very plainly a game that we had against Forest Grove. Forest Grove. It was a home game. My mom and my grandpa were there, which was pretty big. My mom and my grandpa came to the game, and I was in the game, playing second base, doing really well, because I'd had a great week. A great week in practice. I caught everything. I hit everything. And even my coach said, "What got into you?" And so he put me in the game. And I remember second base. And we were not winning. We were not winning. And the batter hits a fly ball. Fly ball. And it's coming right to me. This is the moment you wait for, because mom and grandpa are in the stands. You want them to see how wonderful you are. And the ball is right there. And I've got my glove ready. And I missed the ball. I missed the ball. I can still see that ball hit the ground every time I think about it. It's like, oh, it's there. We lost the game. We lost the game. And it wasn't my fault. Because the reason we lost the game was because we couldn't score. You usually need to put points on the board to win. They skunked us. It wasn't my fault. Even my coach said, "It's all right. We'll just keep going. We'll keep going." Never forgave myself. All of my freshman year, all of that time, all I could see from that game was that ball on the ground. That's all I could see. That was it. Never played baseball again. That's not why. I never played baseball again because I went into theater, and you know, theater's like a full year season. But I can remember it. My coach said, "Don't worry about it. We'll go on." Even my teammates, "It's no big deal, Tom." But myself, I carried that. I carried that. I carried that. Sometimes I think I still carry that. Because I can see it. I can see it. It's implanted in my memory. The ball just laying in the dirt. And I could have caught it. I could have, should have, would have. And I didn't. Too many times we carry guilt and shame from something that we've done or said in the past or didn't say or do in the past. And I want you to know, God does not want you to carry that burden anymore. Whatever that burden is, God does not want you to carry that anymore. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. It wasn't meant for you. What does Scripture say? "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." But when we're carrying that kind of guilt and shame, that's heavy. And God says, "I don't want you to carry that. You need to forgive yourselves. You need to let that go." How hard is it to let go of something that we think we've done? How hard is it to let that go? It's hard. It's hard. We look at ourselves and think, "I could never be forgiven of this." Whatever it is. Whatever it is. That argument over the dishes. Or the brother and sister who don't talk to each other anymore. I had one of those. I had a sister that would avoid me. I'm really deep, brother. I'm really deep. I had a sister that wouldn't talk to me. And then once upon a time, she forgave me. And what a sweet feeling it was. What a release for me. What a blessing it was not to have that distance between us because it was restored and I didn't have to beat myself up anymore. In the book of Galatians, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Oh, wow. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. So stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. When we don't forgive ourselves, we are in bondage. When we don't forgive ourselves, we're carrying something God never intended for us to carry. When we don't forgive ourselves, we're beating ourselves up day after day after day after day when God says, "I've already forgiven you of this." And if you go to your friend who you've hurt and you say, "Please forgive me," and they forgive you, they've already forgiven you of this. But we haven't forgiven ourselves. Because to forgive yourself is hard. It's really, really hard. Because you relive it over and over and over. Because with my friend, whoever my friend is, they forgive it and then they just go on. But we just relive it. There are certain images we have in our head. I have another image that's in my head of something I didn't do. Something I didn't do. Not something I did do, but something I didn't do. I had a classmate who I saw one time. I was so busy coming home from somewhere, and I remember looking over, and I saw him standing over by a store, and he looked pretty frail. And I thought inside myself, I should go talk to him. But you know, we're busy people, right? We go and we go. And it was shortly thereafter, he passed. He wasn't healthy. Had a real problem with alcoholism. And it cost him his life. And I missed an opportunity to talk to somebody. And I beat myself up over that year after year after year. Because I can still remember driving and looking this way, and there he was. I still have that image in my head. And I've talked to his brother since then. And his brother has told me, "It wasn't your fault." His brother told me, "It wasn't your fault." And I'm working really hard to forgive myself. But sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. God doesn't want it to be that way. Which is easier? To forgive somebody of their sins? Or to say, "Take up your bed and walk"? For Jesus, it's not a hard thing. It shouldn't be for us. So we take on the yoke of slavery when God has given us freedom. We burden ourselves when God has said, "I'm going to take that away from you." We, as a group, here and at home, all of us, we carry things we were never meant to carry. And it's weighing us down. But if you look in the book of Romans, chapter 8, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Let me read that again. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." We have been set free. We've been set free from our sins. And he wants to set us free from our own burden because we haven't forgiven ourselves of our sins. Because we're still carrying that baggage. We're still carrying those things. "I hurt my brother. I hurt my sister. I didn't say something. I ran away from something when I should have faced it. I didn't go to my brother or my sister and say, 'I just want you to know I love you.'" God says, "I don't want you to carry that burden anymore. You need to forgive yourself. You've done all the other things. I've forgiven you of your sin. You've asked your brothers to forgive you. Why can't we ask forgiveness for ourselves? Why do we carry that? It was never intended to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. So if we are Christians, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, all of that stuff from the past we shouldn't carry anymore. There's no reason for you to carry that weight. There's no reason for you to feel burdened down and have all the sorrow and all of the pain that is just re-inflicted because we're thinking about it over and over and over again. Because somebody, somewhere, maybe hasn't forgiven me. But I want you to know, whether you're here or whether you're at home, it's very, very plain. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do everything in his power to make your life better. Oftentimes, the main reason that we're fighting these things is because it's within ourselves. It's in our own mind. It's in our own spirit. We're wrestling with ourselves, and we need to let those things go. It's very, very important because we are our own worst critic. We are our own worst critic. I go home after I speak and I watch myself. I remember the last time that I spoke because it's totally different now. It used to be you had all kinds of freedom. You could walk here, you could walk there. Now I have cameras following me. And I watched myself last time. And I remember at staff meeting, I talked to Pastor Mike. I said, yeah, I watched myself, and I have a lot of respect for those camera people keeping up with me because I'm a theater guy. Theater, you don't just stand and talk unless you have to stand and talk. You move. So I would move. And Ronald, I got to give you kudos, baby, because he would follow me. Sometimes he'd follow me late, and I've already moved back. But he did his best to follow me. And I learned at that point, I said, I'm going to stand still a little more. Because those guys are special. Let me tell you, we're our own worst critic. How many people listen to yourself on a tape player or a recording and think, oh, I sound awful. That's horrible. Because we're our own worst critic. And it's not just in our display. It's also in our inward being as well. We are our own worst critic. We are harder on ourselves than we are on others. We're harder on ourselves than we are on our name the person. But God says he doesn't want us to be that way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Now, I want to talk to you for a minute about Eskimos. Eskimos. The Moravian missionaries who went to the Eskimos were speaking with them about exactly what we're talking about today, forgiveness. And it was totally foreign to the Eskimo people. They had no concept of forgiveness. They didn't. If somebody wronged you, you were wronged. And when they talked to them about forgiveness, they had no clue what that meant because they had no idea. They didn't even have a word in their language for forgiveness. So they wrote one. And this is it. Always remember that. That means forgiveness. Isu mazai zhuzhang nanermik. Isu mazai zhuzhang nanermik. Got to remember the N. Isu mazai zhuzhang nanermik. What does it mean? In Eskimo, it means not being able to think about it anymore. That is forgiveness. That is true forgiveness. Not being able to think about it anymore. Not being able to think about it anymore. True forgiveness means not being able to think about it anymore. The book of Psalms 130. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. If you kept a record. If you kept a record. He doesn't. There is no record. There's no record of your sin if you've asked for forgiveness. I can prove it. I can prove it through the Word of God. Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That's what Jesus says. That's what God says. When I forgive you of your sin, what does it say? It's as far as the east is from the west. When I forgive you of something, I don't even think about it anymore. So when you go to God and say, oh, God, forgive me of that thing I did 100 years ago. He says, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. What are you talking about? Or if you come to me and say, Tom, forgive me of that thing that you forgave me of before. I should be able to say, what are you talking about? I forgave you of that. I don't even think about it anymore. That's the problem with forgiving yourself. It's because there's nobody to tell you not to think about it anymore. The Word of God says, forgive, and it will be forgiven of you. And once it's forgiven, don't even think about it anymore. So hard for us. Hebrews 10:16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them down. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So if you're carrying something, if you're beating yourself up over something, if somebody wronged you in the past and you haven't been able to let that go, you're carrying something that God never intended for you to carry. If you're beating yourself up over something that you said or something that you didn't say, or if you're beating yourself up over something that hurt somebody else, I know it hurt them, but you've asked forgiveness and they've forgiven you, then you're carrying a weight God never intended for you to carry. And if you're at home today and you're thinking all of these things that I should have, would have, could have done, and I didn't do, if you've asked forgiveness of that, it's over. It's done. He says, I don't remember it anymore. The freedom that comes from forgiveness. Because to be truly free, you can't carry that weight. You see pictures of people who are in chains and the chains are taken off and then they're free. Our chains are emotional and spiritual. Our chains are things that keep us tied down to things that we shouldn't have to hang on to anymore. And I just want you to know Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. He doesn't want you to carry the weight of your own condemnation. Because Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's plain as plain can be. So I really want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you to forgive yourself. Jesus said it's easy to come to him and ask for forgiveness. Because if you do, he says, what is easier? To say you're forgiven or to heal you? And I'm going to do this so that you know I have the authority to forgive sins. So that's easy. And forgiving others, even though it's hard for us sometimes, it's necessary. It's necessary. And it's easier to forgive others than it is to forgive ourselves. But if we haven't forgiven ourselves, we haven't completed the process. Because God does not want you to carry that anymore. Isu Magi Zhu Zhang Nainermik. Isu Magi Zhu Zhang Nainermik. How important is it? How important is it to forgive yourself? How important is it to let that go? More important than you will ever know. More important than you will ever know, because otherwise those things will haunt you. Otherwise those things will just tear you down, tear you down, tear you down. And if you don't let those things go, it's just gonna keep eating away at you, eating away at you, and it will destroy you. It will destroy you. The guilt and the shame that you should not have to carry, because Jesus paid the price for it all. Jesus paid the price so that all sin can be forgiven. Jesus paid the price so that we can forgive others. We can forgive those who have trespassed against us. We can forgive that person who wronged us. We can forgive that person. But even more importantly, we need to forgive ourselves. It's very important. Because if you don't forgive yourself, you relive it over and over and over and over. And you never get out of that pit of despair. You never get out of the bondage that goes with that. You never, ever get away from what you think you are. But as I read in my Bible, we are a new creation. Behold, all things are new. And as far as what you're carrying inside of you, I forgave that a long time ago, and I don't even remember it anymore. I want you to know how free it is to walk in the light of Jesus. I want you to know how freeing it is to be forgiven, to forgive, and to forgive yourself. I want you to know that Jesus says you are not supposed to carry this anymore. Let it go. Let it go. I don't want you to carry that burden anymore. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You got to trust him. You got to trust Jesus. You got to give it over to him. So today, I have to ask, whether you're here or whether you're there, are you carrying something you shouldn't be carrying? Are you angry at somebody? Are you having trouble forgiving somebody who harmed you? Because that's real. That's real. I know people who have been injured through things that have happened to them in their life. And it hurts. It hurts so bad. But until you forgive somebody, it's going to hurt every day. But if you can forgive them, then that is gone. That pain you can be set free from. But the second part of that is you have to forgive yourself. Otherwise, you relive it day after day after day after day. And God does not want you to do that. He wants to set you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. The freedom of forgiveness. There's nothing in the world like it. It's nothing that the world can offer you. It's nothing that you can get down at the local grocery store. It's nothing that you can get from Congress. They can't pass a law and say you're forgiven. There's nothing that they can do for you, but Jesus can. He did and he will, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if it was easy for him to forgive the sins of that man who couldn't walk, it's easy for him to forgive the sins of those who can. So today, I ask you, examine yourselves. Are you carrying something you never should have carried? Are you weighing yourself down to where it's so hard to make it because you can't forgive yourself? I want you to know, Jesus came to set you free. Free. There's nothing like freedom. There's nothing like walking without that weight on you. There's nothing in the world like being set free. So, if you're having a little trouble here, I want to pray with you. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody. Just bow your heads for a moment. Are you having a little trouble today? Has somebody wronged you? And you're having trouble forgiving them? We want to pray with you. Or even more importantly, are you having trouble forgiving yourself? Are you having trouble letting that go? We want to pray with you. So if you're here in this house and that's you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. Just raise your hand and we will pray with you. Yes. We will pray with you. And at home, if that's you, I can't see your hands, but God can. And when we pray today, we're also praying with you at home. Anybody else? I don't want to pass up an opportunity for anybody. Then let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that your word is so definite about the forgiveness of sin. There is no question. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And as we forgive others, you forgive us, including ourselves. And Lord, if we're having trouble today, I just pray that you would lift that burden. I pray that you would lift whatever it is that's holding us back, that's keeping us down. Because that little bit, that little root of bitterness, that little bit inside of us that we can't forgive ourselves of, it's destructive. It will tear us down. It will not allow us to live the freedom that you have promised us. And Lord, for those who raise their hand here and at home, I pray right now for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit and an anointing of healing. Healing. Because you said, take up your bed and walk, and he picked up his bed and he went home. We pray for that type of healing from our sin. That forgiveness, so that we can walk in the freedom of forgiveness. And we ask this in your precious and wonderful name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Jesus loves you. He does not remember it anymore, and neither should you. So I pray that this week we walk in freedom. Freedom knowing that we are children of the Most High God, somebody who loves us, somebody who cares for us, and somebody who is with us every day and knows everything about us. Bless you all. I look forward to the time when we can all be here together. But until that time comes, we love you and we care for you. And we pray for you every day. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. God bless you.